Well, it's good to be back. We'll get started tonight. Which probably nobody would know unless Bruce called last weekend or last Sunday sometime, Scott Richardson's wife, Martha, passed away or fell asleep, as the scriptures would say. Wrote him a little note, and the church is going to send some money to them. So be remembering the brethren at Fairmont, West Virginia, the church up there. Marvin Stonker is the pastor. Be remembering all those folks, particularly Scott, Pastor Scott at this time. Turn with me. We're still in Genesis. We'll be here a while, I guess. Genesis chapter 18, we're going to look at one verse. Genesis 18 in one verse. Actually, I'm going to read a few verses before this so we can kind of get the context of what's going on. And starting in verse 9, Abraham is conversing with the Lord. He's conversing with some angels and or the Lord. It's kind of interchangeable the way the context reads in chapter 18. You see three men that are angels, and then the next thing you know, he's talking to them. It's plural, and then he's talking to a singular person. So it goes back and forth. But we know the Lord is speaking here in verse 9, and they, that is those three that he was speaking to, they said unto him, to Abraham, "Where is Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life." There's one person speaking here to Abraham. "And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" Here's the verse we're going to look at. "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I, God, will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Now, looking at this verse as it applies contextually, we have Abram in his old age, Sarah, past childbearing age. They're being told once again about the unalterable promise of God to them that they shall have a son who will be in direct lineage of Christ, the Messiah, and also that Abraham will be the father of many nations. That's what he's reiterating, the promise that he said. We've looked at this for the last four chapters. Now, let's read it again, verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Though all physical evidences point contrary to God's word, yet God will not be frustrated, and he declares to his servants, Sarah and to Abraham, "Is anything too hard for me?" Though all physical evidences point contrary to God's word, they knew what the promise was. They'd heard it. It's been rehearsed to them time and time again. Still, God's will not be frustrated because nothing's too hard for him. Now, we apply this to ourselves, but before I go into that, we'll consider four things. Before I do that, this shows two things in the immediate context that we're looking at. What a rebuke this statement is to Sarah and Abraham's unbelief. She laughed. She said, I'm not. She heard what was said. She's in, hiding in the tent or behind the door in the tent. She says, basically, there's no way. And isn't that exactly what we do? Time and time again, we meet here on Wednesday, Sundays. In your time of study or reading of the Word at home. In your experience of grace, as well as my experience of grace, time and time again, God's Word says, I'll be with thee. I'll protect thee. I'll keep thee. I'll love thee. I'll wrap you in my everlasting arms. We know these things in this book. We've been through this year after year, and we read the promises, and we're so ministered to by the promises, and yet something comes up. Physically, emotionally, financially, anything, it doesn't look like it's gonna take place as God said. But what a rebuke to our unbelieving, sinful flesh. This is the in context, as he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? It's a rebuke, first and foremost, to Sarah's unbelief, and it's a rebuke to our unbelief. Every time we struggle with something, this verse, this book, the promises, all the promises in Christ, being yea and amen, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? It's too hard for us. And then we try to figure things out mentally. We try to figure things out physically. We try to figure things out spiritually. And we come short, and then we try to do something in the by the power of our flesh. The rebuke to you and to I and to Sarah and Abraham is anything too hard for the Lord. But secondly, what a testimony to the long-suffering and goodness of God to the likes of us. How many times do we doubt His sure and steady Word? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So two things in the context of what we're looking at in Genesis 18. It's a rebuke to our unbelieving sinful flesh, and it's a testimony to the long-suffering and goodness of God to the likes of us. Now I want to consider four other things. As we pull back from Genesis 18, as we pull back away from our brothers, our brother and our sister Abraham and Sarah, and as we apply this to ourselves in a broader sense, the question is, in verse 14, consider this first, is anything too hard for the Lord? In a broader sense, would the creation of something from nothing, would that be too hard for the Lord? Well, we read in John 1 that in the beginning, and we read in Genesis chapter 1, He spoke and created this world and all that we see and all that we enjoy from nothing. That's hard. I'm just looking at the physical aspects of it and the different things. How difficult. It would be difficult. The creation of something from nothing. I listened to the news the other day, and they said that, man, they had created something. The Nobel Prize winner yesterday was noted something that they said he created. Well, no, he took some elements, whether they were compound elements or whether they were atomic, whatever they were, he had something to begin with and came up with something else. God took nothing. He made this, what we see and what we enjoy, and this earth and the flora and the fauna, He made all this nothing. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Consider creation. The answer is no. He created. What about the deliverance of a whole nation that was under the Egyptian bondage? Turn to Exodus 14. Would it be too hard for the Lord to deliver not just one, but hundreds of thousands of people, one nation, from another nation that held them under bondage? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at Exodus 14 and verse 30 and 31. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Now, if you want to read chapter 15, the first 10 or 12 verses, they believe that there was nothing too hard for the Lord, because in that song that Moses sang, one of the stanzas in it, verse 3, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also were drowned in the Red Seas." Verse 6, "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy." Is there anything too hard for the Lord that He could deliver a whole nation? No, He did. It's not too hard. Well, what about in the New Testament, where we have blind people receiving their sight? That's pretty hard. That would be hard to do. It would be difficult to do. But was that too difficult for our Lord? No. At one point, He spat on the ground and got clay and rubbed it in that man's eyes, and he that was born blind, he saw. Well, that's difficult, but it's not too hard for the Lord to do. Fourthly, what about a rough estimate of 5,000 hungry individuals to be fed from a few fishes and a few loaves of bread? That would be hard for us to do. Nay, that would be impossible for you and I to do. But is anything too hard for the Lord? How about Lazarus, dead, being raised from the grave? Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. That wasn't too hard for him. How about God becoming a man and yet not surrendering His deity? I know what I just said, but I don't understand what I just said, because it's beyond me. It's above me. Nay, it's hard for me. It's impossible for me to understand that without God giving faith to us to believe that. But God incarnate in the flesh, is anything too hard for the Lord? How about, more specifically, you and I? How about the recovery of my or your dead, decaying soul unto newness of life? With men it's impossible, but nothing in the way of salvation for His people is too hard for the Lord. How about the unforgiven receiving forgiveness, pardon, and peace? Now, I know the Catholics, and I know these cardinals, so-called, and these popes, so-called, they think they can absolve sins and they can forgive sins, but no. In the last, they'll be found wanting and found damned. Can't do it. But is anything too hard for the Lord? He forgives, pardons, and gives peace. Our text says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Whether temporal or eternal, physical or spiritual, whether at the beginning of days or the end of time, our God is able to do everything and all things to get glory and help His elect children. That's the first thing out of verse 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Consider secondly, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee. At the time appointed. There is a day, a time, from old eternity, that God will be gracious to His own. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. At the time appointed. Not before, not after, but at the time appointed. He said, I will return unto thee. Look at Galatians chapter 1 and starting in verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of the fathers. But when it pleased God, there's the appointed time, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. Turn to Luke chapter 19. There is an appointed time for God's people that God will cross their path. He'll cross them, convict them, bring them under His workings of grace, and redeem them. He returns to His people and causes His people to return to Him. Luke chapter 19. And look with me at verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this one of whom He's talking, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. This day is salvation. He said unto him, this day is salvation come to thine house. There is a time appointed. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look with me at verse 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Sarah, you will have a child at the appointed time. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion, beseeching Him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and unto another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, or heard that, He marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. In the, I believe it's in Luke, it says that when he was talking to Jesus, and as he turned to walk away, the servants came and they said that, you know, the servant was fine. And that was when I spoke, and Christ said, go, he's fine. The self same hour. The point is that just like in Genesis 18 and verse 14, at the time appointed, look back at our text. At the time appointed, here's another key word. At the time appointed, I will. God's I wills. There's another key phrase. I will say, I will, says the Ancient of Days. I will be merciful to whom I'll be merciful, and mercy shown. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and at the time appointed, grace is shown. I will, and that leper, he said, I will, be thou clean, and he was clean at that appointed hour, at that appointed time. And he says, I will that all the Father has given me, none shall perish, and none shall perish. Thirdly, consider this in our text. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Consider thirdly, according to the time of life. As will the appointed time of sovereign mercies visit, so will there be imputed and imparted life. When God says, I will return unto you in an appointed time, then that time is a time of imputed and imparted life. You see how that's phrased there? He says, at the time appointed and according to the time of life. Christ's life for our death. Christ's grace for our failed works. Christ's righteousness for our filth. Christ's pardon for our guilt. This time of life goes by other expressions in Holy Writ. Turn to Ezekiel 16. It's called here in Genesis, the time of life, according to the time of life, but it has other expressions in this book as well. Ezekiel 16 and verse 6. And when I, this is the I will of God, when I passed by thee and saw you polluted in your own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. There's the time. There's that appointed time according to the time of life. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And that's when we live. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Another expression of the time of life. Luke chapter 19. You remember this, Zacchaeus verses 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. There's life. Zechariah chapter 13. And verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, the elect, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That the time of life is called a fountain open here. In that day. You see, there's a time appointed according to the time of life. Mark it down. If it is your time, if it is your time appointed, then it will be your time of life. Because the trump card, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Now, if it's based on my intellectualism or yours, if it's based on the economy, if it's based on oratorical ability, savvy, we might have an appointed time to meet. There'll be no life though. But when God crosses the sinner's path, according at the time appointed, there'll be a time of life. You mark it down. If it's your time appointed, it is your time of life because God is God. Lastly, consider this. You might be here tonight and wondering, can I obtain salvation? I, who am such a sinner with such great and expanding needs, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And you who believe, you ask, I ask, will I endure to the end? I wonder. Will I remain in the bosom of my beloved? Will I make it past this hard trial? I can confidently tell you, if you're His, yes, you will. For there is nothing too hard or too difficult for him who bears all for you and carries upon his shoulder every single lamb that has been purchased by his precious blood. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life. May we bless God and thank Him for His absolutes. His absolutes. Bruce, would you close us, please?